Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting into Robbie, and that's the ball game. Wow. Listen to this crowd. A good one here. A remarkable comeback by the Bonnies. Couldn't quite close the deal. 73-68.
That was last night here on KMOX. The St. Louis University Billikens with a win over St. Bonaventure. And the Bernie Miklas Report is brought to you by Saliga Heating and Cooling, an American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer. We bring in Bernie Miklas, who's with us every Tuesday and Thursday after the 11:30 news. Bernie, good to talk to you. And that's a good win for the Bills last night.
You know, this has been pretty wonderful to watch because they struggled in the preseason. A lot of it had to do with injuries, but they still struggled. And it wasn't impressive. Not that anybody was giving up on them. Not that anyone said, hey, why'd they hire this coach? I don't think any rational person had those thoughts. But it created a little uncertainty about how good they would be once they got into conference play. And they've come out of the gate roaring 3-0. And all three very impressive wins. And St. Bonaventure is considered maybe the best team in the A-10, if not the best, certainly in the top two or three. So conference play could not have gone better so far for St. Louis U, and it's an entertaining style of basketball, entertaining players. They don't have a deep bench, but those guys work their tails off, and they have great endurance, and I think Josh Schertz is just an excellent coach. So I'm happy for SLU. I'm happy that they got off to this kind of start.
So I know it's a little early to project this, but you know they're healthier now. They've got Robbie Avila back, which was a big loss for them near the beginning of the season, and they're off to a good start in A-10 play. Is this a tournament team?
I think they can be, but it is way too early to kind of look into that. And let me just tell you, if you don't mind, I'm going to be a metrics nerd just for a second. I will say this. They're positioned, as we sit here today, they're positioned to be a tournament team because I'm looking at KenPom.com and I'm looking specifically at the Atlantic 10 Conference. And KenPom, who is quite an authority on evaluating teams, he has St. Louis U as the number one team in the A-10 Conference right now. Now, overall, you know, they still have some work to do. They're still way down on the list in terms of the entire, you know, Division One. But all they can do is put themselves in a position, and they're going to have to win enough games in the A-10, a lot of games, to offset their disappointing performance in the preseason, because there were, frankly, a couple of really clunker losses there that would hurt them if they're a bubble team in a couple months, right?
Yeah. Oh, there's no question about that. So it's probably going to be a thing where they have to win that tournament, right?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, if they go into the tournament with, you know, as the top team in the league or second or third, but with an excellent conference record, I think they'll be alive. It's just a question, again, how will the bad losses be held against them? We don't know that. And plus we also don't know the way it comes down is like, there are going to be, for example, let's just assume they don't win the tournament. They're a good team, but they don't win the tournament. Well, there are always every year, so many bubble teams, so many, and that would be in a similar situation as SLU. And then there it comes down to what the selection committee does. They make some curious, puzzling decisions every year. So, it would not, they can control their own fate, obviously, but if they don't control their own fate, then they're going to have to win a lot of games in conference and hope that the selection committee views them favorably.
Meanwhile, Illinois is off to a really good start. They're very likely a tournament team, arguably the best team in their conference. But Mizzou is one of those that in the AP is receiving votes, at least right now. What do you project their season will end up being, and if whether or not that is a tournament team?
I think, first of all, Illinois, I'm going to defer to my friend Iman Brennan, who is a longtime writer for ESPN and then The Athletic and has his own Substack blog now, which I subscribe to. He wrote a piece about the Illini, and I really do value his judgment. He said, oh, they're the best team in the Big Ten, and they look like it. I mean, they're number 7 in the KenPom ranking, so that tells you a lot. Mizzou is a really good team, and they're clearly, clearly improved from last season. Well, it would be kind of hard not to be improved, but really, they're clearly much better. The problem is the SEC is just stacked. It's just loaded. I mean, it's almost ridiculous how many great teams there are in the SEC. And if I look at KenPom, since I have it up, he's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. He's got them as the 10th best team in the SEC. But Joe Lunardi and some other people think that they think that the SEC could put as many as 12 teams into the NCAA tournament. So my point is, Mizzou's kicking. They're trying to create a chance, but they got to keep winning. They really have to keep winning. I mean, they can't be inconsistent, and they got to carve out some wins in conference play, because this is the best college basketball conference in America right now.
Hey, Bernie, the St. Louis Blues take on the Anaheim Ducks today at Enterprise Center. And, they are moving in the right direction since Coach Jim Montgomery took the helm. Had a couple of tough losses. So they don't have a lot of room for error right now if they want to make the playoffs.
Well, and, this is a pretty well-known storyline. But the one disappointment with Montgomery and the Blues so far, it isn't like I blame it on the coach. Their schedule has been just so overloaded with road games. And when you're traveling all the time, it really does make it difficult for teams to find practice times. And one way that Jim Montgomery works his magic is when he has a chance to have practices with his guys, regular practices where he can get into his teaching points and make corrections and offer messages and everything else. So if you look at them, they've been great on the road, and that's outstanding, but they're only 3-3-1 for 7 points since Monty became the head coach, and that points percentage ranks 23rd. So they have to start making stuff happen at home. They've got 4 in a row at home, 7 of the next 9 at home, and 13 of the next 17 at home. This gives them a chance to strengthen their play at home ice. It gives Montgomery a chance to have more and more practices, which are vital. And it gives the Blues a chance to generate some momentum that will kind of propel them for the rest of the season. But they have got to do really, really well over these next 17 games.
It's not inconceivable that they make up a lot of ground and find themselves with a playoff berth that isn't a wild card one. But if they do make it as a wild card, how much better do they need to be to actually do anything in the postseason?
Well, I think for the most part, the NHL playoffs are wildly unpredictable. And we've sat here in St. Louis watching Blues teams that we thought were going to be, well, watch out, deep run, maybe Stanley Cup. I'm thinking of that President's Trophy winning Blues team under Joel Quenneville, for example. And then you have some Blues teams, including the 2019 team. I really didn't like their chances of making a deep playoff run. I thought the early rounds were going to be really hazardous, which they were. But the Blues were able to get by a lot of it because Jordan Bennington was just ridiculously great. So I never know what to expect because we've seen so many shocking upsets. And I also don't know what to expect because we don't know what the roster will look like then. If the Blues make the playoffs, will that roster be augmented by a trade or two made by Doug Armstrong? Will that roster perhaps include Dvorsky, their top prospect, who has just been incredibly impressive, not only in the AHL, but in the World Junior Championships? Is there going to be space for him? Can he help them? Are they going to stay healthy? It's just so hard, Ronge, for me to look ahead because it's sort of like talking about, well, can the Cardinals do this or do that? Well, we don't know what their roster will be in 2025 yet, you know? Mm-hmm. But if they get in the playoffs, though, if Bennington's playing the way he has, and if Doug Armstrong strengthens that roster, they can do some damage. I do believe that. They can do some damage.
Hey, Bernie, tonight is the Orange Bowl with Penn State and Notre Dame. Tomorrow will be Texas and Ohio State. What are you looking forward to in these two games, and what do you see the championship game looking like?
I'm going to jump ahead to the second one first because I believe strongly in Ohio State, and I think they're going to demolish Texas. Mm-hmm. I think Texas is really overrated, and Ohio State has reinvented itself on the fly in ways that are just remarkably impressive. Nobody can cover their wide receivers. They can run the ball. They have a good offensive line. Their defense is number one in the nation. And what happened after they lost to Michigan is that Chip Kelly, the offensive coordinator, who's pretty brilliant, but he called a terrible game that day. They were ultra conservative. And I think Ryan Day and Chip Kelly got together and said, look, if we're going to turn this around and everyone's counting us out, we have to open up this offense and take advantage of those playmakers outside on the perimeter. And that's exactly what they've done. They're the best team right now that's left in this tournament. And I think Texas is a lot more vulnerable than people realize. My goodness, the fact they let Arizona State come back the way they did in that game, they gave their defense, which is so highly touted. The Longhorns gave up 510 yards to Arizona State. Well, what can Ohio State do to them? So if I were a betting man, I would take Ohio State and I would lay the 5.5 or 6 points. I got to be honest with you, Amy and Raj. I am going back and forth on this game tonight. I really am. I can't make a decision. But if you ask me to, I'm leaning to Notre Dame because I think Notre Dame's got the better all-around defense. I worry, though, because their passing game is limited. I think that their running back from St. Louis, who's very, very good, I don't know how healthy he's going to be, even though he's going to play. And I think Penn State offensively probably has more ways to beat you. But I tell you what, I just love that Notre Dame defense. Just love the way they play. So I reserve the right to change my mind because I'm going to be doing a video on this later. But I'm still doing some research. But if you ask me right now, I'd say Notre Dame.
You can't change your mind after the game. You have to your last mind change has to be before it starts.
Oh, I agree. I'm going to be doing a video early this afternoon about that. So
I will say this. I grew up liking Notre Dame. I just arbitrarily picked them when I was a kid. I had no real attachment to the university. I've sort of backed off that a bit. I don't care as much. But Marcus Freeman, their coach, he's very likable, and I think he's made that team a lot of fun to watch.
He is very likable, and maybe I'm a little biased because I think the world of him, and he's so fresh, and he's such a good person, and he's really a good coach. There were some growing pains, but he got into that job awfully young. That was to be expected. But maybe my bias, in a way, comes in this way because I don't know who actually does like James Franklin, the Penn State coach, which is probably unfair. But he comes across in an entirely different way than Marcus Freeman. I watched that press conference late last night, and I could see Marcus Freeman was kind of irritated by James Franklin when they were on the podium together. So, I think that's a great storyline because there's been a lot of good pieces written about this, about, hey, has Marcus Freeman by himself made the Notre Dame Fighting Irish a lot more likable than they've been in a long time?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
I think you could say yes, right?
Yeah, I just like him. Not because the Bears drafted him, but because I like him. I just like him.
Yep.
They got rid of him very quickly, though. Hey, Bernie, tell us about our friends at Saliga, and we will talk to you on Tuesday.
And what about Pete Carroll to the Bears, huh?
Interesting. I don't know. It's interesting. Yeah, I don't. I don't know.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to extend the segment. Well, but I had to sneak that one in.
They're hiring or they're interviewing 50 different people. So who knows what they're going to do?
Absolutely. As far as Saliga Heating and Cooling, I would say, unfortunately, I think the Bears will screw it up because of their general manager. But I hope I'm wrong for your sake, Ronch.